Chapter 17. Welcome. May went limp in Hugh's arms and nearly fainted. Princess thought she was going to throw up, and Bede quickly whispered to her, "Isn't that the dragon's name?" before he made the connection. Luckily, Orvin retained a measure of composure and hissed, "Kneel, everyone!" The five villagers immediately collapsed to their knees in the mud and bowed their heads before the royal family. "Nonsense! Nonsense!" laughed the king. "We don't demand that level of respect out here in the wilds of West Wessex. The entire village would be rolling in the mud if we did. Besides, Roisin claims you are the ones who rescued my nephew. You are welcome here. Please, join us for dinner. You must be hungry and weary, and we were just about to sit down to eat." Hugh had recovered from his initial shock and replied, "That we are, Your Majesty, but we are neither bathed nor clothed properly to dine with royalty." He continued to kneel with his head bowed, and his companions followed suit. The queen was pleased with his manners and respect, but gave a disdainful look indicating she also agreed with Hugh's assessment. "You are disobeying a king's request?" asked Kilwulf in surprise. "Not at all, Your Majesty. As hungry as I am, and as tempting as your offer sounds, it is with the greatest respect that I decline, so that you might reunite with your nephew as a family and not among strangers." Kilwulf let loose a hearty laugh and said, "Well, I accept your reasoning, but tomorrow the entire town feasts at midday. You have brought me the greatest gift imaginable, and we shall celebrate. Now, I do insist that you stand so that I may see the face of such a wise and politic farmer." Hugh and the rest stood up, and Kilwulf smiled at each of them, but his smile flickered as he paused when he saw Orvin. Kilwulf commanded his guards to find them a place to sleep and to bring them something to eat. He then put his arm around Sin and guided him towards his wife, saying, "Go inside. I need to talk to Gar for a moment." He then turned towards his captain and whispered something to him before joining his family inside. Gar quickly instructed three of his guards to guide them to a small building nearby, which contained several straw sleeping piles. The other two guards were sent to fetch dinner. Orvin recognized the building as a barracks and asked if more troops were expected. Gar explained that these were, in fact, his unit's own quarters, but that they would sleep outside until suitable lodging was found for the travelers tomorrow. Hugh started to protest, but Orvin put his hand on his son-in-law's shoulder and subtly shook his head. "It is our pleasure to offer this minor favor to the people who have returned our prince," insisted Gar, although Princess suspected it was done on the king's orders. At that moment, several young girls and boys arrived, bringing steaming plates and bowls of food into the hut, along with several flagons of mead. The delicious sights and smells dispelled any desire to argue. "Good night and enjoy your dinner," Gar kindly said as he prepared to depart. "Oh, and one more thing. We'll need to hold your swords, bow, and pike while you're here. The king insists that no one carry a blade in his presence. It's for his safety, and we'll return them when you leave." He had his men collect the arms and smiled as he closed the door. "That was nice of them to give us their room," said Princess. "Yes, it was," agreed Orvin, a little too loudly as he shook his head and placed his finger in front of his lips. He pointed towards the door, and Princess peeked out through a crack.
"The guards are still standing there,"
she whispered in surprise. "Yes," sighed Orvin, "they're doing their job and guarding us. We may be the king's guests, but we are also his prisoners. Kilwulf is not a stupid man. He knows who we are."
"But how?" Princess fearfully asked.
"Well, for one thing, he knows where Sin disappeared. There are only two types of people who live in that forest, outlaws and refugees. And outlaws wouldn't have brought Sin home."
"And the second reason?" Princess asked after her grandfather had paused for several seconds.
"Oh, that," muttered Orvin. "Well, I'm also pretty sure Kilwulf recognized me."
"What can we do?" asked Bede, who was still reeling from the shock of learning that Kilwulf the dragon was really Kilwulf the king.
"Well, I don't know about you," answered Orvin, "but I'm starving and plan on eating and drinking this fine fare tonight. Then I intend to eat and drink even more at tomorrow's feast, because by tomorrow night, I expect to be dead."
Well, I agree with the dining part of your statement, Orvin, but your defeatist attitude surprises me, said Hugh. Perhaps it's just your belly talking. Come on, everyone, dig in. The group spent the next hour eating in silence. It was probably the tastiest food Princess had ever eaten, but she felt no joy in the experience. She was the one who insisted they rescue Sin. Princess was the one who led them here to their doom. The more she thought about their situation, the less she tasted the food.
What can we do? She quietly asked.
Nothing, dear princess, answered Orvin. There are too many well-trained guards for us to fight our way out, even if we had our weapons. They'd catch us if we tried to run off, and besides, now that Kyolf knows we exist, he'll have his men scour the forest until he finds any survivors.
We shouldn't have come here, Princess cried. It's all my fault. I was being stupid and didn't think. I thought he was some rich merchant's son, not the Crown Prince of Wessex. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to everyone.
May put her arm around her daughter and comforted her, saying,
It's all right, Princess.
You have a girt heart and a beautiful soul. I would have been disappointed in you if you had done anything else. We'll figure something out.
Your mother's right, added Hugh. We made the decision to help Sin and bring him here as a community. That doesn't belong on your shoulders alone. Besides, your grandfather's just giving up because he's tired, hungry, grumpy, and thinking like a soldier. Soldiers don't know what to do if the solution doesn't involve fighting or fleeing.
I'd take exception for that if I weren't so tired and hungry, grumbled Orvin, and if it didn't sound like you had an idea brewing in your head.
If we can't outrun or outfight them, then we need to outthink them, said Hugh. We need to convince Kyolwulf to cancel his decree and to agree to let all of us live.
Oh, is that all? Orvin replied with a belch. And how are you going to do that, O wise son-in-law?
I'm not, Hugh frankly replied. It's going to be up to either you or Princess.
Me? Princess squealed in surprise. Why me? There's no way I'm going to convince a king to change his mind.
Your daughter has a point, agreed Orvin as he stuffed more food into his mouth.
It has to be one of you, because you are the only ones who will have a chance to meet with the king, explained Hugh. He'll either call for Orvin because he recognizes him, or he'll call for you, Princess, because he wants to meet the woman who enchanted his nephew. There is no way to know, so we'll have to prepare both of you. I hope no one's tired, because this is going to be a long night.
Tired?
Us?
Nah. Why would we be tired after a 2-day hike with full packs? Growled Orvin. And have I ever told you how much I hate you, Hugh? Why couldn't you have married that other boy, May? You know, the baker. He was a nice lad. He never got into any trouble, and he made delicious pies.
Princess May and Bede all laughed despite their situation. Orvin winked at them and said, Puellis protus vinci verbis. Battles can be overcome with words. What do you have in mind, Hugh?
Kyolwulf's decision to exterminate us was based upon what he desired 7 years ago. We need to combine all our knowledge about Wessex's current political situation to determine what he needs and desires today. Then we just have to provide a solution to his current problems, answered Hugh.
Okay, I'm back to hating you, Hugh. Sighed Orvin. You're a dreamer and an idiot, and not in that order.
Princess said, I agree with Grandpa, Dad. Well, not the parts about hating you and thinking you're an idiot, but how are we going to learn about modern politics stuck here in a guarded cabin?
We already know quite a bit, Hugh assured them. Orvin and I regularly visit Cheddar to listen to the gossip. We've been keeping tabs on our enemy for years.
What? Bede and Princess shouted in unison.
How? Asked Bede.
When? Asked Princess.
May raised her finger to her lips to silence them and answered, Every time your father and grandfather said they were going on one of their hunting trips, they really went to Cheddar to visit the pubs. They'd come back smelling like rotting apples and whispering all the latest gossip.
Pubs are the best places to get information, argued Hugh. Everybody knows that.
Imbibing and scrumpy was an essential part of the ruse, added Orvin.
Well, now it's time to prove it to me, May brusquely answered. Show us how your pub crawling is going to prepare my father and my daughter to save all our lives, and I'll never complain about your drinking again.
Ah, a worthy challenge at last, grinned Hugh. Let's get to work.
First, when dealing with a king like Kilwulf, don't offer any unrequested information, but answer all his questions truthfully, and always be polite. You never want to piss him off. Orvin and Hugh shared everything they knew about modern Wessex late into the night, including of some of Guderian's ideas and theories of what was going on behind the scenes. They strategized how to use this knowledge and rehearsed until Princess couldn't stay awake any longer. "Let her go to sleep," Orvin finally said as he saw her eyes were closing again. "May and Bede have already passed out, and this isn't going to work anyway." "You're right, Orvin," replied Hugh with a yawn. "About going to sleep, not about it not working. It has to work." "You know, you are a good man, Hugh," said Orvin as he laid down to sleep. "I still hate you, but you're a good man."
"Yeah, I know," said Hugh, but he could already hear Orvin snoring.